It's Sound Effect from KPLU. Gabriel Spitzer here, and for our Halloween show today, we're going to take a look back at a favorite Northwest legend. This guy. That's the sound of what might be the most enduring myth in the Pacific Northwest. Bigfoot. Of course, what I really mean is that's allegedly the sound of something that the vast majority of people say doesn't exist. Most of what passes for evidence for Sasquatch is pretty sketchy. But there are actually a few people out there who've made it their mission to do a scientifically rigorous investigation of the Sasquatch phenomenon. And one of them is Dr. Jeff Meldrum. He's a professor of anatomy and anthropology in the Department of Biological Sciences at Idaho State University. And I'm giving his full title there so you can understand that whatever you think of his research, this guy is at least a credentialed scientist. And when we spoke to him earlier this year for our Northwest Myths and Legends show, he was preparing for one of the largest scientific hunts for Bigfoot to date. He says he got serious about Sasquatch when he encountered some evidence that he couldn't just write off.
I was traveling through Washington. The opportunity presented itself to visit someone who had a lot of evidence, the footprint casts, which I was very keenly interested in. He showed me a long line of tracks, 15-inch tracks. There were 35, 45 individual footprints. Very clear, unmistakable. I mean, these either had to be a very clever hoax or this was the real thing. And that's what kind of made the hair literally stand up on the back of my neck is, as I, from my perspective of expertise, considered these remarkable footprints, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. My gosh, a Sasquatch just walked by here last night. That really set the hook. I didn't see how I could walk away from this evidence.
So how would you kind of assess the state of Bigfoot research as it stands now? I mean, you said that these footprints were some of the most compelling evidence you had seen. How would you size up the field?
Well, I've been at this for nearly 20 years, and I have perceived that there is a shift in attitude. This really came, was driven home with the recent discovery of Homo floresiensis, the hobbit, as it's commonly known, this diminutive hominin in Southeast Asia that for which skeletal remains have now been found that are just a few tens of thousands of years old, which is a snap of the fingers in geologic time. The prospect that there could be branches of a very bushy family tree persisting alongside us, even into the present, isn't so far-fetched anymore.
So in pursuit of that question, you have a pretty elaborate research project in the works. Can you explain what it consists of?
Yes, I was approached by a gentleman who actually had an encounter, a close encounter with a Sasquatch in the northern Sierras a number of years ago, and he became just engrossed with the challenge of confirming that experience. And after consultation with many engineers and designers and pilots and so forth, he settled on an aerial survey approach and determined that the best way to do that would be a lighter-than-air ship, a helium-filled drone that could be flown at a considerable altitude and would have enough capacity for a long-duration flight with enough payload to accommodate very high-end thermal imaging equipment to try to make contact with a hot object that might fit the profile of a large bipedal primate. And then, of course, verify that on the ground with a ground insertion team. And they will spend at least a six-month period, 24/7, surveying on the ground a potential site for ultimate deployment of this airship, which is dubbed the Aurora.
And the Aurora, it's a drone? I mean, you're using a drone to hunt
Sasquatch.
That's right.
Now, it's different than what most people might envision when they hear the word drone. It's a 35-foot dual air cell catamaran-style airship, like a miniature Hindenburg, only we'll hope that it doesn't have the same fate as the Hindenburg. And, that's when the work really begins. A creature like this, if indeed they exist, they're nocturnal, they're rare in the environment, they're very far-ranging, very, very generalized in their diet. That profile makes for a very difficult species to study in its natural setting.
You did say, you know, if Sasquatch exists, does that mean that you are agnostic at this point, or do you believe that it's out there? It's mm-hmm. and you're open to the possibility that it's not. Where do you stand with that?
In the colloquial use of the term believe, you know, do you believe in this? It usually connotes a position more akin to faith or the acceptance in the absence of evidence. Whereas for me, belief has no bearing on it. As a scientist, I am grappling with the evidence at hand. And on the basis of that evidence, you know, personally, I'm quite convinced.
What do you think the chances are of you finding Sasquatch?
Oh, I think they're pretty good. I mean, I have spent months and months at a time in the field, on the ground, surveying for trace and physical evidence, and have found on, you know, more than a half a dozen occasions, footprints that I can't attribute to any other form of wildlife or human, hair samples that defy attribution to any known wildlife species. You know, so given that, being able to coordinate a ground effort with that eye in the sky, I think will just broaden the prospects and increase the chances of us detecting something.
Let me ask you this, Professor Meldrum. I mean, if you don't find anything, at what point does it? I mean, is there a point at which it makes sense to stop looking?
Well, I think that point's quite far away. I can't see that happening in my lifetime, quite honestly, because of the things that have occurred, the things that the conclusions that I have drawn through my personal research. Now, the onus is still upon me to disseminate those conclusions more effectively, perhaps, to my colleagues, and to see a shift in the attitudes generally.
What have you given up, or what challenges has this presented to you professionally and personally?
Well, I have a thick skin, and it takes a lot to get under it. But when it has come to periods of evaluation for advancement or for promotion and tenure, there have been some unfortunate behavior on the part of a number of my colleagues. It's often, you know, the reaction from even within my department, which is a bit of a microcosm of the broader scientific community, has, as you might expect, spanned the gambit. And so it was an eye-opening experience to jump into that deep end of the pool and realize that rather than throwing you a lifeline, there were people with poles to push you under the surface. So I'm certainly more more realistic in my attitudes towards the conduct of science and the politics, you know, to be blunt, the politics of science.
Jeff Meldrum is a professor of anatomy and anthropology at Idaho State University. I'm Gabriel Spitzer.